All right, if you would, just open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter number 4. And you might want to have James chapter 3 kind of close there. Shouldn't be a very hard message this morning. Just going to, hardest part be looking at me, I think. This is just going to brag on the Word of God for a little while this morning. And the day and age that we live in, you know, there's a lot of technological advances and things that, you know, people really get caught up in. And they are amazing in their own right. I came up in a time when computers were just, you really didn't see many computers in someone's home. And by the time I hit college, I started more dealing with computers and that kind of thing. But I can think back about even just something as simple. I say it's simple. You probably have to be, you know, a brain surgeon to be able to put things together for this gaming technology that they do today. But I remember back, you know, you started out with the Atari, you moved up to the Sega Genesis, you went on to the Nintendo, then they came out with the Super Nintendo, and everything just kept advancing from year to year. And now it's gotten to the place where I was working in someone's home a couple of years back, and they had a TV that almost covered the wall. I'm not kidding you. It was just a ridiculous TV. But as I was walking back and forth, I assumed that they were watching some kind of war movie or war series or something like that, only to find out that the woman was sitting on the couch playing a video game. And it was so lifelike, I couldn't even tell the difference. It looked like a movie. And so that's gaming technology. That's how advanced that kind of thing has come. And then when you get into things like the internet, I mean, you think about it. I mean, you can talk to someone in, you know, China or New Zealand in just a matter of seconds. That's pretty amazing. You take your phone. I mean, the things that you can do on your phone, it's just amazing. You can talk to someone. You can look at the person you're talking to, and they can see you. This was Star Trek when I was growing up. The touchscreen stuff. That was the Jetsons. This was all sci-fi. This was all make-believe. Nobody ever imagined that we would live in a time where these things would actually happen. You know, I'm still waiting on the little capsule that you put in the refrigerator or put in the microwave, and it blooms into this big, nice, you know, supper. But that's where we're at. I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, this stuff is just commonplace to most people today. But as coming up through that 20 years, watching this stuff for right around 20 years, it's really amazing. And I'm not up on technology. I'm the last person you want to call if you're having problems with your computer. You know, I really don't know anything about my phone. I have no idea how even to work my phone most of the time. I mean, I'm always asking somebody else. But even with that limited understanding, I know we've really come a long way. We've really come a long way. And so I'm also privy to something else, though. There's something that is on this earth that's thousands of years older. And yet, it's much more advanced than anything that man has to offer today. And, I'm talking about the Bible, the Word of God. And I've been watching it for about 20 years, a little over 20 years now. Got saved, started reading the Bible. I've been watching it for a little over 20 years. And it's amazing. And I know most people don't view the Bible the way I presented it. But I really believe it's just because, number one, either they haven't really spent that much time with it, or number two, they've just never taken the time to really compare the two much. And the things that you can do with technology, or that technology can do for you, compared to the things that the Bible can do for you, from what I've studied, there's no comparison. I mean, there's absolutely no comparison. This old black book is much more advanced than any invention man has come up with today. And I'm convinced, again, that people just don't know what they have. Otherwise, they'd spend a lot more time in it. I believe that. Because, again, they spend all this time with these other things. They're enamored. They're amazed by these other gadgets and these other things and what they can do. But they've never really, I don't think they've really considered what they've had all along. And the Bible, again, is just an amazing piece of work. And I just want to give you a couple of examples here of how much more advanced it is than anything Apple is going to come out with in the next 5 or 10 or 500 years, however long we've got left here. But one of the first things that people talk about when they talk about technology is how much you can see with it. And even I kind of mentioned that in the beginning. I mean, you can get an aerial view of any place in the world. I mean, you want to see what the Taj Mahal looked like, just Google it. You can zero down in on that. If you want to see what's the Eiffel Tower or anything, I mean, you can just Google the things. Google Maps is, I mean, you can get an aerial of your own house and see what it looks like from, you know, up in space or whatever. And you can see what people are doing in real time in China or, like I say, in New York. It's just really amazing. Or you can go back into time, and if you want to, you can check out the Saturday morning cartoons you used to watch when you were a kid. Or you can look at some old photos or old videos or things that have taken place in history here that you've never seen. You didn't get to be there, experience it, but where other people have taken these photos and things, you get to experience it through that. And no doubt, that's pretty impressive. You know, I mean, it's pretty impressive. But again, that's no comparison to what the Word of God can see and what you can see in it. This book can not only show you what happened in the past, even all the way back to the very beginning, but it can show you what's going on right now. And what's even better than that, it can look past everything right now and tell you what's coming ahead in the future. And I don't know if you've noticed, but that's a lot of people forecast things and they sometimes they get pretty close. Sometimes they don't. But it's not a cheap imitation forecaster like what you have today that says it's going to be a 40% chance of rain or 60% chance of snow tomorrow. Or it's not this generic, kind of thing where there's going to be something really bad happen, you know, in some place in the world in the next 5 years, as if you didn't already know that. But this book can give you specific examples of things that, are going to take place and where they're going to take place and who's going to be involved. And we're talking about future events. I mean, I think back, we don't realize how big of a deal. And if 1947, we have no idea how big of a deal that was. But you see, people for ages had talked about, you know, they debunked the Bible based on the fact that Israel wasn't even a people. They didn't even have a place anymore. For 2,000 years, they'd been exiled out of their own homeland. And then all of a sudden, in 1947, they show back up. 1947 really put a monkey wrench in the world and a lot of things the world had said. I mean, it messed them up bad because Israel came back to their land. They're a nation now. Now, again, that's history to us, but, you know, Clarence Larkin didn't know that. But he knew that. You know how he knew that? Because of his resources. He knew that was going to happen. He didn't live to see it. But he knew it was going to happen. And guess what? It happened. It amazes me. If you like Dr. Ruckman's commentaries, some of those things date back to the 60s and things like that. And you're reading through those commentaries. And I never will forget some of those things I read in the Revelation commentary that was written in the 60s. And to watch the things happen just like he said it was going to happen. How did he do that? It's almost miraculous. And then you consider his resource. And then you realize what he was able to see. It was amazing what he could see and what he could predict that was coming ahead. And that's just the foresight that he received from the Word of God. What does Apple have compared to that? What does any gadget you have at home? How can it do that? It can't do that. And as amazing as that is, it gets even deeper and more personal than that. Because this thing can not only show you what happened in the past in the world, and it's what's going to happen and what's going on right now, but it also can see your every move. Just like the video cameras, you know, that they have in a bank or the surveillance stuff they have in different places you go to. Just like the satellites that are zooming in and can zoom in and all these places all over the world. Beyond that, though, what's even better than that is it can not only see your every move, it goes even deeper and it can actually get inside you. And it can discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. Not only does it see the move you make, but it knows why you did that. It knows what you had in mind when you were doing that. It's absolutely amazing. You talk about getting a close-up view of somebody. You won't get any closer than that. Hebrews chapter 4, if you're there, verse 12 through 13, very popular passage of Scripture, should be for all of you. says, for the word of God is quick, which means it's alive. And it really is alive. But for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So God's word can not only help you to see the world and the future and yourself like nothing else, but this thing can show you even your intentions behind a lot of the things that you have done and are doing. And there are spiritual things that are described in here and that are shown to you in here that no camera has ever seen. I mean, you learn things about spiritual beings, and you learn things about spirits. You learn things about all kinds of spiritual things that you have never seen. No video camera has ever seen. Nobody has a picture of it anywhere. But you get a full, you get full descriptions of these things right here in the Word of God. Absolutely amazing what you can see. And the thing about it is, God doesn't have a web page for this. You won't find an app for your iPhone in this way unless it's a Bible app. He has a book, and he's written it in a book. And what's great about that is because in America, we don't understand this. I don't. I don't ever consider it like a lot of people do. Most of the world doesn't have iPhones. Most of the world doesn't have computers. Most of the world doesn't have running water or electricity. And so what better way to show the most people than by putting it in a book where you could pick it up and read it? And so, again, this is something God can see. I often think of Dr. Ruckman. You talk about the Word of God being alive. And I laugh, man, I still think about it. I remember him preaching one time and him saying, every time he said, you know, he picks up this book. No, the one first thing he said was, every time you pick up this book and read it, you're not just reading it. It's reading you. And it's just kind of checking you out as you're checking it out. Then number two, I remember I laugh about this all the time. He says that, you know, he'd be going through his house doing different things, and his Bible would be sitting on the coffee table, or his Bible would be sitting on the nightstand or been on his desk or something. And as he'd walk by, he'd be doing this or that, and all of a sudden he'd just kind of turn over and just kind of look at it. Because he had this feeling that it was looking at him. And it was just watching him and just watching every. And it is. It really is. That's how the Word of God sees. It sees you. And it's just amazing. And what's nice about it is if you want a little help, I think sometimes it'll help you. You know, you have problems with certain things, or you're getting on the internet, going places you don't want to go. Why don't you set your Bible right there by it? And then before you go to that website, you got to look. Can I get something to cover up my Bible, or, you know, because it's look, I mean, it is, it's amazing. It's amazing. But I think about that. You talk about Big Brother, you know, seeing your every move and watching you so close. Nobody could watch you that close. Nobody could see you that close. God can. God's Word can. It's an amazing book. Another thing that people talk about when they talk about technology is what all you can learn through it. And, if you don't know something, you know, you Google it or you get online and you check it out. Try to figure out what you need to know. And knowledge is a key point of interest for a lot of the gadgets, a lot of the things that are put out there today in technology. And, you know, they're supposed to make you smarter, supposed to, you know, give you the opportunity or the means to get smarter. And they can. Obviously, they can. And that's one of the great benefits of them. But that's also part of the problem of them as well, because knowledge in and of itself is not a good thing. I know what we Greeks like to think, but knowledge in and of itself is not a good thing. And technology can make you wiser in more than one way, and there's two kinds of wisdom. And that's where, if you're in James chapter 3, or if you're not there, you can turn there, James chapter 3. We find out that in James chapter 3, starting in verse 13, we read about two different kinds of wisdom. And if you want to be a wise man, which wisdom you're going to try to take in, and the other what you're going to try to stay away from. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Starting in verse 13. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And so, two kinds of wisdom. And the perfect Bible illustration, you know, is, of course, Adam and Eve in the garden. And the Bible says that the one tree that God did not want Adam and Eve to eat from was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And, of course, the premise of the devil's tempting Eve was, you can be like God because you can know good and evil. And the problem, and he was telling her the truth. That's absolute truth. The problem is, Eve, what Eve didn't understand, and what so many of us don't understand, is that there is just so many things that you're just better off not knowing. You're just better off not knowing these things. And as the case of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so is technology. Technology will offer you wisdom that is good, and it'll offer you wisdom that is evil. And the problem is, it many people have learned things through technology that they would have been much better off not knowing, and because of that, it's going to ruin their life. It's going to destroy them. It's going to hurt them just like it destroyed Adam and Eve. It's going to hurt you the same way. And so you've got to be extremely careful with those things. The Bible, on the other hand, it's the knowledge of the holy. It's pure, it's virtuous, it's only good, and the knowledge that you acquire from it will only make you better. It'll only make you better. The Bible admonition, of course, is that we would be wise unto that which is good, simple. Simple concerning evil. You ever think about, you ever know somebody that's simple? You know, and you just think about them, and you know, the greatest adjective you can think of is, well, they're just kind of simple, you know. And it's not, you're not being mean. It's just that they just really don't know that much. Kind of like children, aren't they? And boy, I tell you what, that's one thing about children that's so wonderful. There's just so much they don't know. So much wicked and evil and just perverse things they don't know. That's what makes it good. That's what makes them innocent. That's what makes them just better. And so, the knowledge that God offers you in this book, it's only good. No one else can say that. Anything else you read, magazine, book, app, whatever you're looking at, whatever thing else you look at, nobody else can offer you that outside of God. No technology can offer you that. Proverbs 6, 20 through 23, this is one of my favorite proverbs, and for many different reasons, but it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life." This is talking, of course, about the Word of God, and when you see commandment, reproofs, and instruction, the law, all those are synonyms for the Word of God. And the first thing is that we read about this is, it says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. Which means that this is a navigation device. And what I like about the Word of God as opposed to technology is, you won't ever get lost in the Word of God. It won't ever take you on a stray path and get you lost somewhere. It's the means, matter of fact, by which all lost people can find their way. And also, it's how the means of all saved people can know their way. And if this is the only thing on earth that I know of that will show you how to get to heaven. Now, you can put that in on your GPS, and I don't know where you'll end up, but it won't be heaven. It won't be heaven. The Bible puts you on the right path. It gives you the right directions. It tells you where to go, where not to go. If you follow the navigation system in the Bible, not only will you get to where you want to go, you can have a good ride along the way. You can have a real enjoyable ride along the way. And even if you run into some trouble, and you will, it'll still give you peace of mind. Because, you know, I mean, I don't know how you are, but even with a navigation device, it's a peace of mind to know that wherever I've been, if I got lost and I just got to reroute, I just got to hit a button and it'll bring me back to where I was at. That's some peace of mind if you're lost. God's word will do that. All you got to do is just get zeroed right back in here and it will take you wherever you dropped off at. It'll bring you right back there. And you get you right back on the path again. And it's a peace of mind, peace of heart. And it'll show you how to go and the way you should go. Number two, it said, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. Now, I love that part. I love that proverb. But there's a lot of security issues these days, you know. And that's why you have to have internet security. And that's why you have to have, locks on your doors. And a lot of people have security systems in their home. And there's national security to try to keep people in America safe from all the people that want to kill you. And there's many advances in these realms and technology that have helped in some ways. But I found no greater security when I lay down to sleep at night than the Word of God. The Bible says that in Psalm 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And then it goes on to say, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And so it really doesn't matter what kind of security you've got. If God is not watching you and God is not keeping you, you're in trouble. I'd say you'll probably be restless. I would be, because what allows me to sleep at night, because you understand you are most vulnerable when you're asleep. No matter how strong you are, no matter what kind of weapons you've got, no matter what, if you're asleep, you're easy pickings. So you're most vulnerable when you're asleep. So what allows me to be able to lay down at night and sleep, it's not a security system in my house, and I got nothing wrong with that. I'm not dependent on the CIA. I'm not dependent on the FBI. I'm not dependent on all the forces of national security watching over me and protecting me. The thing that makes my sleep so peaceful and sweet is the fact that I know through this book that God has promised to keep me and that there is nothing that will come to me that did not go through His hand first. That's what He told me in this book. And so the worst thing that could happen to me is I could die and go to heaven. That's the worst thing that could happen to me. And so that gives me peace of mind no matter what ISIS is doing. That gives me peace of mind no matter who is going to be the next president of the United States of America. Could care less. It gives me peace of mind and makes my sleep sweet. Because I've read some wonderful promises here in this book and that God has given me in this wonderful, amazing book. The last thing in the verse says, when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. And I know it's a big thing to be able to speak into a microphone and have the words come typing out on the screen in front of you. That's a neat thing, amazing thing. I know that it's probably a neat thing to speak into your phone and have Siri to look up whatever you want her to look up. I don't do that. It's just kind of weird to me. But if you do that, that's fine. But, I mean, I'm sure that's a neat thing to do. I know it's a big thing to be able to say something to a voice-controlled device and have it speak back to you. I guess that's pretty neat. But it's no comparison to how God can speak to you through this word. And that's the thing that's one of the things that's amazed me just with God's word alone. That's the first thing that I picked up on whenever I picked up the Bible and started reading it. It was just like, you know, I would be reading through there and God was speaking to me. And man, when He speaks, it's not like, you see, it has a way of going past your eardrum. and it'll get into your head. And not only will it get into your head, but if you let it, it'll get into your heart. And that thing will get so deep that it will start to affect your spirit and your soul. Nothing technology has ever offered me could ever do that. Not the way the Word of God can. And this book can talk to you. It can comfort you. It can encourage you. It can rebuke you. It can scold you. It'll give you whatever you need just when you need it. And it'll be spiritual. It'll be a spiritual thing. These words don't stop with your flesh. They go much, much deeper than that. And there's so many passages in here. And again, some of this stuff, it would mean anything to you. But I'm telling you what, when I read them, man, God just grabs a hold of me. You take Psalm 27, 1 through 6, the Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. It's just absolutely amazing how God speaks through his word. And you can't explain that to anybody. You've got to experience it. And without the Holy Spirit, you can't experience that, I understand. But with his Holy Spirit and the Word of God, it's just amazing how God can get a hold of you. The last thing I want to say about the Bible is that many manufacturers have pretty good warranties on some of their products. You know, some of them give you some amazing warranties that, you know, in this life. But I've found none to be as great and as good as what the Bible holds. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Psalm 12, 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Psalm 119, 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. In Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This is a guarantee from God that every word is pure. Not a problem with any one of them. They're all pure, and that they are settled in heaven. These things will last, he says, forever. Forever. This is not an if you can find any defects, we will give you your money back guarantee or warranty. This is a warranty. You won't find any defects. There's none. You won't find any defects. And the warranty, again, it's not a 40-year. It's not a 50-year. It's not an amazing lifetime warranty. This says when heaven and earth are gone, these words will still be here. They'll still be here. That's an amazing guarantee. That's an amazing warranty on the Word of God. And what I like about this warranty, too, is the fact that I have found in this life a warranty is only as good as the person giving it to you. The problem with warranties today is people lie. And they won't hold to their word. And the Bible makes it clear that the author of this product, he can't lie. It's not that he wouldn't. It's not that he won't. He can't. He can't lie. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I've known him for over 20 years. He's never lied to me one time. Never lied to me one time. And so everything he has told me, everything that I've read, I found to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. An amazing warranty. And so in conclusion, man has come a long way. I grant him that. Man has come a long way in the last 20 years with all of his inventions. And I, as little as I know about technology, I know this. I know that there still is no comparison to what this world has to offer you compared to what God has to offer you in his amazing old book. Amazing old book. This is far more advanced than any gadget or any product that man has ever produced. The Bible says the Word of God is not bound. There's no limit to what it can do in the world, and more importantly, what it can do in your life. Absolutely amazing. So I want to encourage you to try to spend some time in it. We started a new year. I'm not much on New Year resolutions, but hey, if it works for you, do it. You know, they just never worked for me. But if it works for you, do it. And the thing that I would challenge you to do or whatever is, why don't you determine that you're going to spend more time in the Bible than you will with anything that has a screen on it? That goes for your smartphone. That goes for your smart TV. That goes for your computer. That goes for a regular TV. That goes for the old black and white TV. That goes for anything that's got a screen on it. Anything made by man, why don't you determine that instead of, I remember a pastor telling me, he finally got to the place where he said, he got rid of the internet one time. You know why? Because he realized how often he was checking his email. Now, you don't think about it, but I bet if you let somebody else watch you during the day, you don't realize how much time you're spending in front of a screen, but someone else could. And if you just one day decided to say, well, maybe I'll think about this. And each time you pick up your phone to look at your screen, to check this, that, or the other thing, each time you get on the computer, again, you might be amazed at how much time you spend looking at a screen. And so decide you're going to spend more time in God's book than on Facebook. More time in the Word of God than with video games, than with Fox News, than with all the other things that have a screen. Just decide that you're going to spend some time in this amazing book. And I don't know if this will work for you. So I'm not telling you this is something you have to do, but I have found in the last 6 or 8 months, it's been a help to me. I read my Bible at least 3 times a day. Now, again, I don't know if that'll work for you, but I've been trying to do that at least 3 times a day, and I have found that it helps me to stay on track better than if I do all my Bible reading of a morning or all my Bible reading at night. And so I'm going to try to market this thing and get on TBN because I've got this. It's the meal plan for the inner man. And it's a little Bible for breakfast, you know, a little Bible for lunch, a little Bible for supper, and, you know, a little Bible snack every once in a while. It won't hurt you. It's good for you. It's the Bible. It's the meal plan for the inner man. Starting a new year, you know, we want to bulk up our spirit man. You know, we want to tone down all the bad stuff and make lean muscle mass on our spirit or whatever. But whatever, however you want to think about it. But it helps me stay on track. It really does. It just does me better. So if that works for you, maybe you try it. I don't know. The other thing is, I know probably all of us at different times have thought how we would love to be able to memorize Scripture, memorize chapters of the Bible and those kinds of things. And you probably tried it, and it probably didn't work out real well for you. Or maybe it did. I don't know. But I can tell you, if it didn't, I started doing this, you know, a while back, and actually Steven Anderson is the one who I read and actually saw how he did scripture memorization, and he says, you know, he knows over 100 chapters in the Bible right now, and I mean, I don't know, but maybe he does, you know, but either way, it doesn't matter. The thing about it is I found that the way he does it actually worked for me, and so what he did was he would take several verses of scripture. You can write them on 3x5 cards. You can do whatever, however you want to do it. But you basically memorize phrases. That's it. You know, and so you, whatever verse you're wanting to work on, whatever chapter you're wanting to work on, whatever you do, you just pick it out and you just break it down in phrases. You know, in the beginning was the Word. 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 In the, you know, and you just keep going through that, and you may go through that for several minutes. But if you do that for several minutes, you're getting it hundreds of times. Okay? Then you move on to the next phrase. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. And the Word, see, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going, until finally you've got that verse. And then you move on to the next verse. And you just keep building upon that until, before you know it, one day you've got a whole chapter of the Bible memorized. Now, here's the thing. When you get the whole chapter memorized and you get to the place where you are comfortable with it, the way to retain it or you know, try to retain it is you do it every day for a month. And then you do it every day for or every once a week after that for a couple months. And then basically you do it once a month for the rest of your life. He says that you will retain it that way. He says that's how he retains it. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The goal is to retain it. Who cares if you do or don't? You say, what? What? No, here's the thing. Here's what I found out. It doesn't matter if I retain Romans chapter 8 the rest of my life. You know what's nice? I spent 2 months learning it. Guess what I was thinking about all day long for 2 months as I was going through that in my mind over and over and over? You want to talk about girding up the loins of your mind and getting a hold of your mind and thinking about something that's so much better than all the other things your mind wants to think about during the day? There you go. Now, you want to talk about an amazing book? Wait till you start doing that. It's amazing to me. I sat for 4 hours one day going over one verse just because of all the things that are in it that I never realized was in it. You know, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. 4 hours one day. You think, man, you're slow. You're simple. Yes and no. I couldn't get past that. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Sing. The thing about singing, man, singing, because you learn. You learn so much about singing. And in these songs, these spiritual songs that are good songs, you learn so much doctrine. And, you know, and there's so many reasons. I mean, he said, you know, you sing psalms and things like that to one another to teach one another. There's so much you can learn just from singing. Then beyond that, you're singing because you have all the reason in the world to sing. Then you're singing of mercy and judgment because God's a balanced God. It's not just about his mercy, and it's not just about judgment. It's mercy and judgment. And then you're singing who to who? Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So when I sing, well, as much as I want to sound good, as much as I would like for other people to enjoy my singing, well, who cares? Because I'm not really singing to them. I'm singing to the Lord. So again, it's just, and that's called meditating on the Word of God. And that, I tell you what, that was a good day. It was a lot better than some of the other days that I want to think about, you know, all the things that are wrong and all the things that, you know, I'd rather be doing than doing what I was doing and yeah, this, that, and the other thing. And so you spend time in the Bible, more time with it than you do devices. You spend time meditating on the Word of God, and you watch how this amazing book does some amazing things for you.